The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Nate Johnson's got it. Nate turns and gives it to Jalen Glover. Glover to the 10. Glover still on his feet, spinning out of a tackle. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Get in the end zone, Jalen. Touchdown, Utah.
Shuck wants the snap. Got it. Back to throw. Pressured. Throws. Intercepted. And it'll be for 6. A pick 6. Wow. What an incredible finish to a football game as Jeffrey Bossa has put it away for Oregon.
2nd and 10. Shotgun snap to Ewers. Quinn going deep. He has Mitchell open. Throws it. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. Adonai Mitchell. He's used to big catches against Alabama, and A.D. Mitchell strikes again.
A lot of guys losing their voice last weekend, and I guess Texas is back. Finally. But so is Oregon, Utah. A lot of wins for those teams looking to get into the early discussion for the playoffs, thanks to Learfield for those cuts. All of the teams had big wins, a couple in come-from-behind fashion, but Michael Butler, everybody's talking about the Longhorns going to Bryant-Denny and winning.
Yeah, they should be. A statement win, and Bryant-Denny Stadium, Alabama, was only 52-1 over the past several years, so I guess it's worth noting. The guy on the other side of that loss, by the way, in that stretch, was a man named Burrow. Very rich man now, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, that season went well for him, too. It's 2019. He won the Heisman Trophy, and they won the national championship. Quinn Ewers? Texas?
Are we really going there?
I'm not getting that far into their back conversation yet.
Well, we still got a lot of games left to play, but Texas certainly looked the part on Saturday. Well, some stunning news out of Lansing, Michigan, and Michigan State over the weekend. Mel Tucker has been suspended, pending an investigation into allegations of inappropriate behavior involving sexual harassment with a prominent speaker and activist, Brenda Tracy. Michigan State Athletic Director Alan Haller and Interim University President Teresa Woodruff made the announcement on Sunday.
As there have been new developments before the hearing, and with the best interests of everyone, including student athletes and the university community in mind, I have suspended Mel Tucker without pay as an additional interim measure. While the investigation continues, I made this decision with the support of university leadership.
The action A.D. Haller took comes with the full weight of my support. As he shared, these new developments before the formal hearing can impact the case and the community. This step to place Mel Tucker on an unpaid leave is equally necessary and appropriate for today's circumstances. These actions are not taken lightly, and I know A.D. Haller is making them in support of the interests of the individuals impacted.
3 years ago, Tucker received an extension to his contract that included 10 years and a raise of $95 million. The university could fire him for cause if he is found to have engaged in immoral conduct, that according to his contract. Soon after the announcement, though, Tucker released a statement expressing that, quote, "I can only conclude that there is an ulterior motive designed to terminate my contract based on some other factors such as a desire to avoid any nascertain," I'll explain what he means by that, "or my race or gender." Harlan Barnett has been named the interim coach, and former coach Mark D'Antonio has been hired as an assistant. Of course, this all comes after the sexual misconduct trial for Larry Nassar, who was a sports doctor there, in 2018 was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison, admitting molestation of top gymnasts under the guise of medical treatment at the school.
There's bad irony in this whole thing between all the parties involved and the nature of the issue, but it comes down to this, what happens in the future with this program, and part of it is the big money payout, potentially. $77 million still owed to that huge contract that you just discussed. If there is show cause, maybe there's an out for Michigan State.
Didn't we say when he was given that extension, this is a little premature at the time, they were afraid they were going to lose him?
Yeah, it seemed that way. They got a big win, if you remember, over Michigan. The contract comes out. Next thing you know, the next game against Ohio State was a rout. They haven't followed that up with the kind of season that you would expect from a guy who's making that kind of money.
Well, in the meantime, the Spartans do have a football game to prepare for, playing host to the Washington Huskies on Saturday. Job of interim coach Harlan Barnett to get his team ready to play. The Spartans are 2-0. This will be the biggest challenge to date. Barnett says he is working towards meeting with every player individually, and he sees positives coming from their efforts.
It was good. It was actually really good. And then talking with them, like I said, talked with 27 of them yesterday, and it was almost like they had a scripted answer, which fired me up, because when we were out at practice, I'm like, these guys, they're moving on. They're young people. They're resilient. They're going. And so they were confirming that, what I saw at practice. You know, coach, we know what it is. Hey, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep fighting. We're mission focused. Let's go.
This type of situation, though, Michael, we can see this go either way, right? I mean, the team could come out fired up, or the team could land flat on its face.
Well, it is unfortunate for the players mostly, because they have nothing to do with any of this, and this negative energy is swirling around the program. One release to get out there and play, and I know that's what they want to do.
Absolutely. Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers have a chance to make a statement on Saturday with a win over a top 25 opponent, that in 15th-ranked Kansas State. Tigers have looked so-so in their first two games. Wins over South Dakota and Middle Tennessee State. A win would be the first over a ranked team since 2020 when they beat LSU. They get a chance for revenge after losing to the Wildcats 40-12 a year ago. And in that game, K-State rushed for 235 yards, something that Eli Drinkwitz was talking about in his weekly press conference.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of keys, obviously. To me, it always is going to start with defending the run. You know, we're going to have to do a better job than we did last year defending the run. You know, we put our defense in a lot of bad situations in last year's game, but we got to limit the explosive plays in the run game. I think their quarterback is really good. He's got a natural feel for where to place the ball. He's incredibly accurate.
At some point, Michael, Eli Drinkwitz needs to come up with a big win. They almost got one last year with Georgia. They had Georgia on the ropes.
They did.
But couldn't get the job done. They've also had some very head-scratching losses. This is an excellent chance for them to maybe turn that around.
Yeah, this is the Big 12 champ from last year. Many may forget, but K-State did win it. Now, they lost to Alabama the Sugar. Their runner-up in that conference became the runner-up nationally in TCU. This is a big game for the conference, too, because they've got the Texas win. They're a current member, but they're on their way out with Oklahoma. And I think there's a little bit of this back and forth between the SEC and Big 12. And you got some other big games in the league this weekend that are matching the SEC and Big 12. But it is huge, certainly.
I would add, the SEC needs a big win. They hadn't had one yet.
They struggled. They have. They got a losing record right now versus other Power Fives. That's not something they're accustomed to.
No, this has been quite unusual. There are three games highlighting the open of SEC play this weekend. First, LSU visits Mississippi State, and top-ranked Georgia gets a taste of conference action in a home contest against South Carolina. Gamecocks will attempt to slow down the big train that is Georgia football, winners of 17 straight. South Carolina was the last team to win in Athens, and that was back in 2019. But Phil Kornblut of the South Carolina Radio Network says if quarterback Spencer Rattler can continue his solid play, the Gamecocks have a chance.
Spencer Rattler has just been, he's just off the charts. And people will start noticing, assuming he survives the Georgia game. I mean, you know, this is a guy that was sacked 9 times by North Carolina. North Carolina had 16 tackles behind the line. Yet, he completed nearly every pass. He did not throw an interception. And he gave them a chance. You know, after two games, Rattler is leading the country, leading the SEC in numerous passing categories. He has just been in that zone.
Unfortunately, he doesn't play defense. And that's something that South Carolina has not done a great job of. We'll see what happens Saturday.
Well, the odds makers still like Georgia a lot. They're 4-touchdown favorite. This is not based on what South Carolina's got. This is all about Georgia. That's what they do to teams. They dominate, their defense dominates, and they end up winning handily. But I thought going into this season, at least, that this was one of the tougher games on their schedule. People have talked about Georgia's schedule, that it's not much. Well, that's because Georgia's so good. They make it look easy. Spencer Rattler is very good. But does he have the supporting cast to make this a ball game? And that's what I want to see. Now, he has done this in some pretty big contests before. He beat Clemson last year, and he beat Tennessee.
This would be a huge upset.
I think it's bigger than Texas over Alabama, for sure. You're going into Athens between the hedges.
And would be bigger than what happened in 2019, although that team, South Carolina, wasn't very good in 19. In fact, I think they had a losing record, but still went into Athens and won that game. Tennessee and Florida. Well, that may not light the cauldron of interest as in past seasons, but it certainly set the stage for the winner of this one in the SEC East. The Gators had the advantage in the series since 2005. They won every year but 2016. Tennessee won the game last season, but it was closer than many expected. UT quarterback Joe Milton III has been steady in his first two starts, 429 yards passing, four touchdowns. He continues to prove he is worthy of being a replacement to last year's phenom Hendon Hooker. So says Chris Lee of Southeastern 14 Podcast.
You look at what happened last year, and granted, some of those were mop-up situations, but they weren't all. Like the Clemson game, the Vandy game, started and won both those. When he played last year, he threw 10 touchdowns and no interceptions. I get that he will overthrow wide-open receivers, but my goodness, in that offense, nobody gets wide open receivers more than Tennessee. You know, the scheme's got a lot to do with it, but they've also got some guys that can play a little bit. I don't know. I like his chances given what he showed a year ago and given their system, given their record for developing talent. I'm buying Joe Milton, but I'm not putting the house on it.
And I agree with Chris. I think the jury's still out, but this may be the big first test simply because it's a road game.
I think it is. You're going into the swamp. That's a place where Tennessee has really struggled. They've lost nine straight in this series there. They haven't won back-to-back, which they would do if they can pull this one off, since 03 and 04. Florida's owned them. That's the way it's been. But Joe Milton, is he as good as advertised? This is where you'll find out for sure. And it's a big game for Florida, too. You talk about coaches that need to show something. We just mentioned Drinkwitz. Billy Napier needs some big wins.
Will Steve Spurrier be on the sideline? That's my question.
I'll be looking for the visor.
I have a feeling he will be. And one more thing. After the win in Tuscaloosa last Saturday, we asked the question, is Texas back? That remains to be seen, but the win did end a few ignominious streaks for the program. That included a streak of five straight losses to top five teams. The last time the Horns won a regular season game against a top five team on the road was back in 1969 against Arkansas in what was dubbed at the time the game of the century. The win was also the first for head coach Steve Sarkisian against a top 10 team in three tries at Texas. This week's number four ranking in the AP poll, the highest since a number two ranking in 2009, which was the last time the Longhorns played for a national championship. Meanwhile, a few streaks ended for the Crimson Tide. Saturday was the first non-conference loss for Nick Saban since his first team at Alabama in 2007. That was, of course, against Louisiana Monroe. It was also only the third loss to a non-conference opponent in regular season since he took over. That also in 2007, the third one being Florida State. It was also the first double-digit loss for a Saban-coached team at home since 2003 when he coached at LSU. That was against Florida. Finally, the last time Alabama started the season with a 1-1 record, 2003 under Mike Shula, his first year. The win came in the opener against South Florida, which Alabama plays this Saturday. Bama finished 4-9 that year, but that's just a coincidence, right? For this week's U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we head to the home of the Wahoos, Charlottesville, where James Madison pulled off a last-second win over Virginia on this Jordan McLeod pass to Keelan Black for 10 yards for a Duke's victory. Dave Riggert has the call on the JMU Radio Network.
Third and five from the Virginia 10-yard line. Sproul short motion on the far side left. McLeod points at the defense. They bring some pressure. McLeod looks left side. Keelan Black wide open at the 5-yard line in the flat and gets in the end zone. Touchdown, James Madison. KB out of the backfield from Jordan McLeod. The Dukes take the lead.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report. Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. farm-raised catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more. Visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
How about that late, great Pac-12? Here's Michael Butler.
The Pac-12, in its last year, has made a statement. The conference started 18-0, breaking a record for the FBS-FCS era. The undefeated run finally came to an end on Saturday. Mississippi State's stop of Arizona on fourth down and overtime handed the conference its first defeat of 2023. Later that night, Oklahoma State beat Arizona State, and Auburn topped Cal to make it three losses so far. Still impressive for a league that will be defunct next year. Against Power Fives, the Pac-12 is 6-3. No other Power Five has a winning record thus far. Last year, the SEC was the only conference over 500 against P5s. This year, they're out of the blocks at 3-6. The Pac-12's early season performance is reflected in the polls as well. Eight teams are ranked in the AP Top 25. Only the SEC has matched that feat in the past.
It's time to bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Lynn, let's talk about the week that was.
Yeah, another interesting week. I think you'd have to be surprised at the way some of these things have gone. Florida State, you know, has had bad seasons for a while now, and they're looking, they're looking good. Who would have thought they'd be in the top five at this part of the season? You had a number of usually good teams that have lost by significant margins. Clemson, you know, Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M. I think maybe the biggest irony, Graham, is what's happening with the Pac-12. And right now, you've got Oregon State and Washington State, the two teams that are going to be left out in the deal. They're both undefeated and ranked. I'm looking at the Associated Press. It's got Oregon State number 16, Washington State number 23. There are five SEC teams in the top 25. There are eight Pac-12 teams. I'm not really sure, Graham, how many really good teams right now are, you know, better than average teams that we've had shown in the SEC. I mean, Georgia's the best team in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. I like Mississippi. I think their offense is outstanding. But you really can't take really another team and not pick a shortcoming. Even the teams that have not lost a game have had games when they didn't look impressive. So I'm a little bit surprised that the Southeastern Conference is not looking as dominant as it was this many teams with double-digit losses already this early in the season.
You already brought this up, but Texas and their win over Alabama, we ask it every time they have a big win. Are they back?
Well, they've made us look bad, you know, a good many times. We have, over the last numbers of years, we've, you know, drank the Texas Kool-Aid, and it seems that they always, you know, don't come through, at least in recent times. You know, I picked Alabama to beat Texas last week on the show and said basically it was because of Texas history. Because we picked them high, we meaning Lindy's and the polls and everything. And then they, whenever they face a big game, they should, you know, do well in, they get beat. And then they lose games, you know, that they shouldn't lose. And so maybe this is the year. That's one of the more impressive wins they've had in recent years when people had them ranked highly. And so now they've moved up, you know, they've moved up high. So we'll see what happens. Alabama, because Alabama, you'll look like they were going to make a comeback against Texas last week. And you kept thinking, okay, this is it. This is where the comeback going to be. And it didn't happen. You had, Oregon made a big comeback. They were down to Baylor and they came back on that. Auburn was down to California. They came back. Our catch of the week this week is James Madison. They made a comeback. Is Texas back? I think it's too early to say. Just like I think it's too early to say that Colorado is definitely a national contender. It's just too early to know that.
And one other subject we'll get into maybe just briefly, but just what's happening at Michigan State with the Mel Tucker situation, another ugly scene in college football.
Yeah, it is. And you hate to see these. I still yearn for the days, you know, when we talked about football and just talked about what happened between the lines. You know, first Michigan has its coach suspended because of a recruiting related thing. Now Michigan State with this thing with Mel Tucker. I hate to see it. I don't really, Graham, know enough about it. I know people in our audience probably don't know the details. I don't want to prejudice anything by, you know, we're hurting a lot of places. Don't want to prejudice anything and really give an opinion on it, but it's another thing you wish wasn't raising its ugly head.
So let's move on then and talk about some of the games on Saturday. We'll start first with Michigan State. They're playing host to Washington.
Very good team, Washington. Penix is outstanding, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I would have taken Washington before this. I'll certainly take it now. I know they got a home crowd disadvantage there, but I can't see that what's going on that Michigan State would beat Washington.
Missouri's got a chance to make a statement. They play host to Kansas State.
They do. And Kansas State's doing well, better than what people would be. I'm gonna say Missouri, I think, is going to win the ball game, but I can tell you that doesn't really make sense because they barely beat a Middle Tennessee team that Alabama massacred. So, but I just got a feeling for it. I'm going to take Missouri to win.
And then we've got three games in SEC play starting this week, LSU, Mississippi State.
Take LSU. I think they've got the better team. I know they were mighty disappointing in that first ball game, but Mississippi State's looked good so far. They're undefeated. I hope their fans are patient with them because of this first year without Mike Leach. I'm going to take LSU to win. I think they've got a better team. They got more on the line now than Mississippi State does, but I'll take LSU.
Any chance for South Carolina against Georgia?
Yeah, there's a chance. There were, you know, a few years ago, they played. They always played Georgia early. If you remember, a few years ago, South Carolina upset them nobody gave them a chance. I mean, they got a chance, but I feel pretty strongly that Georgia's the best team in the league and that they'll win the game.
And then down in the swamp, Tennessee and Florida.
I mean, obviously, Tennessee was disappointing last week not playing well from the start, but Florida's got real issues. Tennessee's a better team, so I'll take Tennessee to win it.
How about your upset special?
Well, I barely lost it on James Madison last week. This week I'm going with Purdue. They're an underdog at home to Syracuse. Syracuse beat somebody like 65-0, but I like Purdue. I'm going to take the Boilermakers to win that game.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.